Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation today we find recorded in Romans. We read in chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, during the course of the Christian church year, as I'm sure you all know, we celebrate various festivals according to a certain pattern every year. And one of them is the festival of Pentecost, which highlights the blessed work that's performed in our hearts by the gracious working of God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. This year, Pentecost fell on the last Sunday in May, but because it happened to be one of those Sundays when we were sheltering in place due to COVID, we did not have the opportunity to gather publicly here at church to celebrate Pentecost together and to praise the Holy Spirit for His great work of love for us all. Well, today we have a special opportunity to observe the festival of Pentecost late, as it were, on the first Sunday in August, since our text from Romans speaks to us about the Holy Spirit and His work in our behalf. And I'd like to pose a question as we begin this morning. Did the Holy Spirit's work in your life cease after He performed the great miracle of working faith in Jesus in your heart? Well, I think you know the answer. You've learned from the Bible. Yes, that scripture passage, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who blessed us with faith in Christ, but also that He remains very active in our lives, more than we perhaps realize. And we could spend many sermons proclaiming, speaking about His ongoing work, His using the gospel to settle our consciences in the good news of God's forgiving love in Christ, His using the gospel to comfort us in our trials and tribulations, His empowering us through the gospel to fight the good fight of faith and to fend off the devil's temptations and the world's evil influences, and His using the gospel to keep before our mind's eye on a daily basis the goal of our faith, our heavenly hope. This morning, however, we're going to limit ourselves to one particular aspect of the Holy Spirit's ongoing work in our behalf. And that's the work that Paul the Apostle underscores for us in this morning's text of the Holy Spirit serving us as our prayer helper. Before we delve into that subject, let's spend just a few moments speaking on the general topic of prayer. You know that this is one of the awesome blessings that we've been given as Spirit-regenerated children of God, of being able to step back from the stressful activities of our daily lives and approaching God's throne of grace with our prayers and supplications and petitions. It's a privilege because, well, we don't deserve to be able to do that. When we made our entrance into the world, conceived in sin, born in sin, we were God's enemies. And we had no business, no right to think we could speak with our God in prayer, much less expect him to listen and answer us. What Isaiah the prophet wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his book in Isaiah 59 was true. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. To use an illustration I think we can all relate to, if we were to pray to the Lord without the Spirit's work, before the Spirit's work of regenerating our spiritually dead hearts by the gospel and dressing us in Jesus' holiness by faith, it would be like trying to use your cell phone to contact a friend when you're driving through territory that has no cell phone towers, or when you're driving through a tunnel in the mountains. Your call, no matter how many times you try, will not get through. That is not the case anymore with our prayers to our Heavenly Father, thanks to the Spirit's work. When he blessed us with faith in Christ our Savior, that which stood as a barrier between us and him, blocking our prayer requests from getting through, has been obliterated. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And that's why the Bible so often in so many places encourages us as God's children, believers in Christ, to pray now with boldness, like children praying to their loving Father. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Indeed, all the prayers that we now offer up before God's throne of grace in Jesus' name are to him like a sweet-smelling fragrance. So now, having considered this awesome privilege that we've been given as spirit-regenerated children of God of prayer, let's now consider for our added encouragement the truth that Paul sets forth in our text, that we have a prayer helper in the person of God, the Holy Spirit. The part of his letter from which our text is drawn, Paul has been writing to the Roman Christians about the Christian's future glory that we will all one day experience on the last day. It's going to be so wonderful, Paul writes, that all the troubles and trials of this present life that we currently experience in the valley of sorrow that is this sinful world will be like nothing. Then he goes on and writes about how during the in-between time, that is the span of our lives on earth, from the time we were brought to faith by the Holy Spirit, faith in Jesus, to the time when we will see him in glory and enjoy ourselves unspeakable glory with him, shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, as we heard one of our lessons. During this in-between time, we don't always know how and what to pray for and what to pray about amidst the problems of our lives as we groan in this present sin-cursed world and situations we run into, the burdens that weigh heavily upon our hearts related to family, child training, marriage relationships, health issues, also health issues of loved ones, work problems and challenges. We may be inclined to say, Lord, I've prayed about it a lot for a long time. I just don't know what to say anymore. maybe even get to the point of grasping for words, not even being sure of what we should pray for, whether it's even God's will for us to pray about this or that painful, thorny experience in life, because maybe the Lord wants us to have that thorn, like in the case of the Apostle Paul, that we might rely on him more. Or maybe he will remove it. We don't know. COVID, don't know how long that's going to last. When those times, Paul writes, we've got someone who steps in to make intercession for us. That's the Holy Spirit, as he says here. The Spirit intercedes for the saints, redeemed children of God, according to God's will, with groanings which cannot be uttered. To use another illustration, so you have a really bad headache, a splitting headache, and you have to send a family member to Walgreens to pick up a prescription, some Tylenol or whatever, but you can't do it yourself because you just don't feel up to it, so you ask the family member to go pick it up for you, and you give them, back in the days when they still had checks, I don't know if you write checks anymore, but say you did, pay to the order of Walgreens, but you leave the amount line blank, and then instruct your family member to fill in the correct amount at the cash register. So too, when we pray to the Lord, we may not be sure what to put in the blank of our prayer, but the Holy Spirit, who knows us better than we know ourselves, knows our needs, puts the right thing in the blank, presenting our petition before our Heavenly Father in the exact way that will be best for us. What a comfort to know that. Another thought I'd share this morning on the topic of prayer. You also know in your study of the Bible and our praying to the Lord, we oftentimes include with our petitions that phrase, "Thy will be done," when we ask the Lord for things, but we're not sure whether they will be for our good or not. Again, health issues, lifting of a particular cross or burden we're suffering from, or the timing of a gift, now or later, or the amount of the earthly blessings that would be best for us. Basically, all those daily bread items that we think about when we pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." We're not always sure, are we, what we should pray for or how, but we leave these matters in the Lord's hands saying, "Lord, thy will be done," just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. But there are also gifts and blessings that we don't need to say at the end of the prayer, "Thy will be done," because the Lord's already let us know that he wants to give them to us. You don't need to pray, "Lord, if it is your will, please forgive my sins against your holy commandments. If it is your will, Lord, bless me with a more resilient faith. Give me strength to resist the devil's temptations. If it be your will, if it be your will, help me to retain my heavenly mindedness, the knowledge that I am a stranger here and heaven is my home. If it be your will," no. We know our Father desires these blessings for us, and so we may pray for them unconditionally and knowing that he will grant them to us for Jesus' sake. The thought I'm coming to here is the same is true when it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may recall how in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, as he was providing his disciples with guidance for their prayer lives, after encouraging them with those familiar words, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So Jesus is assuring us, he's guaranteeing us that as often as we petition our Father in heaven for the gift of his Spirit, our request will be most certainly granted for Jesus' sake. Again, what incentive that gives to us in our prayer lives. And to pray and pray often that the Lord would pour out upon us the Holy Spirit, so that by the Spirit's leading through the gospel word, our faith may be strengthened, our Christian joy increased, our understanding of God's word and will deepened. And when those days come, when we're not quite sure what we should pray about or pray for, or we find it difficult to put our innermost thoughts into words, to know the Holy Spirit is there as our comforter to lend us his aid. He'll formulate a prayer that perfectly meets our need and will present it before God's throne, and that will be most assuredly answered in a way that will serve for our ultimate good. So we pray in closing, Holy Spirit, hear us on this sacred day. Come to us with blessing, come with us to stay. Spirit of adoption, make us overflow with your sevenfold blessing and in grace to grow. Prompt us, Lord, to come before you with a childlike heart to pray. Sigh for us, O Holy Spirit, when we know not what to say. Then our prayer is not in vain, and our faith new strength shall gain. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.